Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He's going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode. With me today is Dean Meyer. Dean, how are you doing?
I am the greatest ever.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Dean is a real estate investor. He's been doing real estate investing for quite a few years now and been through some market cycles. So Dean was investing in the previous market cycle, sold everything right before everything crashed. He had a crystal ball, apparently.
I did. It's for sale if people want it.
It's for sale. All right. I think a lot of people would want that right now.
No warranties.
And then Dean Dean got back into real estate investing after the market crashed and went through doing some flips, doing hard money lending, doing all kinds of stuff, buying a lot of rental properties. And right now, Dean is quote unquote retired. So he's up in northern Wisconsin. He's going to be going onto a sailboat pretty shortly and sailing around in the Caribbean and
Bahamas. Starting in Florida, where we're going to actually learn how to make the thing go in the right direction.
Yep. And then, and you'll be there for the foreseeable future, it sounds like. So Dean, with that, let me, or why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about you?
A little more about me. Well, maybe I should clarify the introduction, because words have meaning, right? You have to think about retirement and what that means. For me, retirement only meant that I don't work for anyone. And that's even a hard thing to say because I still work for investors. I still work for tenants. But I don't have a job anymore. And I think one of your questions is going to be what's a book to read. So I'm going to spoil it now and say retire young, retire rich, because it's not about retirement. It's about getting yourself to the point where you don't have to rely on someone or a job, if you will. And that's what I call wealth. So,
and that book, Retire Young, Retire Rich, is by Robert Kiyosaki.
Right? Yes, it's one of the Kiyosaki ones. Yeah, and if you haven't read it, I would say read it. I mean, it's not brain surgery by any means, and a lot of people understand the concepts. For me, I read it in 2000. I think it was 2000. In the bookstore, I didn't buy the book. I read it cover to cover in the bookstore. and so it was free. Thank you. And it's really what kind of got me. It changed my mindset a little bit. And that's where I said, well, that's what I want to do. I want to retire in that way.
Okay.
So there you go. There's that. And tell me about what should I talk about me? You want to know my past or?
A little bit about where you came from. What did you do before you started investing? What did you do before you quote unquote retired young, retired rich?
Well, I got into the real estate / business world because, and people are going to think that this is a crazy statement, I wanted to be a professional bass fisherman. And I graduated from high school. I knew when I was younger, 16, 17, that's what I wanted to do in my life. And you have to find a way to pay for that. And I thought, well, what better way to pay for that than to have someone pay you to live in a house that you bought, right? Because you don't have to work in real estate. That was my plan. That's how I got into it. And that was in 1991. Yeah, somewhere around there. I was 19 or 20, something like that. And that's what kind of started me. The fishing didn't go so great, obviously, because you're not interviewing me about my fishing skills, unless you want to do that, because I'll do that. In fact, I'll get sidetracked multiple times about it if you don't wrangle me back in. But yeah, that's how I started. Is I had this kind of other goal that I thought real estate was going to be the deal. And I just learned a lot of hard knocks in the early 90s. Well, I basically got started from the Guru course calling people, right? And ran into a guy who showed me the ropes. Yeah. And good and bad, you know, that guy could very well have ended up in a ditch right now because of his actions. But I learned a ton about some interesting stuff in the real estate world.
So you learn how to do things, and you learn what not to do as well.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's very well put, very PC.
Yeah, there you go. So that was in the 90s, and then lead us up into before the crash. And why did you make that decision to sell?
You know, so I was buying and selling all the way through the 90s. And remember, at the time, my goal wasn't really to make money in real estate to understand. I mean, I didn't have a plan other than I wanted to go fishing. And I went full-time fishing in 2006. You know, and I had a job, and then I went full-time fishing, and then I just kind of got lucky that I ran into a guy who was one of my clients who became a very good friend, and he got me into the technology world. What he did was give me a job in the technology world because he saw that I was really skinny and living out of my car, traveling around fishing. And he said, you got to stop doing that. And you got to come and sell technology. And this was in the middle 2000s. And for those of you who remember the middle 2000s, I mean, it was .com crazy at that time. Yeah. I'm sorry, the middle 90s. I'm sorry, not middle 2000, middle 90s. Yep. And then we got into 2000 where, the dot boom happened, and I got to be a part of that. So I got to see some market cycles in real estate, and then I saw some market cycles in both technology and in the stock market sector. And I started a technology business right after the dot boom happened, and I started running a install. Network and just a small business in, you know, the computer world, technology world. And then, I was, you know, buying houses and selling them. And I never really had this idea of the portfolio that I was going to build until I read, it was somewhere in that time from 2000, 2001, retire young, retire rich, and got onto the whole idea of buying assets to pay for the stuff you want, which I had this kind of idea of when I was young and dumb 10 years later, running around, you know, trying to do this, but I never had the long-term vision of hold the stuff. Yeah. And so, I bought a couple apartment buildings, small apartment buildings. And then in 2006, I was in the middle of doing an apartment building conversion to condos. Again, it sounds kind of cool, right? I had no idea what I was doing. It just seemed like a really good idea and people were talking about it. And so I went out and kind of put it together, right? And I saw that the traffic for the condos started slowing down. And I saw that the prices that people were paying for these buildings, it just couldn't be sustained with the rents at that time. And I said, something isn't right. And I mean, and again, I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, something isn't right. So I sold everything that I had there in 2006. I bought a house. I did a 1031 into a house that was supposed to be an investment that I ended up moving into, stayed there. And 2007 happened. In 2008, I saw, okay, something's happening now, right? And I didn't really understand what it was, but I started to pay attention that people were getting foreclosed on, and I could buy houses for $40,000 and rent them for $1,300 a month.
Yeah.
That just made sense to me, right? And I started learning the single family world at that time and holding and landlording. And that's really where I started to hit on okay, it's coming together, for lack of a better term. And I guess I met some people that liked that same idea. And getting into 2010, then what happened is there were so many people buying that same formula that I had, you know, the $40,000 three bedroom house, that you'd get 15 offers on one place the day that it came up. And I said, okay, this is dumb. And I had a bunch of people that were saying, hey, we want to buy these houses as well. We know that you know how to do it. And so then I started lending money to people and doing hard money lending, because I just didn't want to compete. It was like, you know, why compete when there's all these people that are, you know, I'll give them the money. And so then I started learning hard money lending, and that's where I am today, buying whatever I can and lending, being just adding value, whatever I can do.
Sure. So you are sitting in a cabin in northern Wisconsin.
Yep, at this very moment. I just came in from the woods.
Yeah, you just came in from hunting.
I did.
So what made you and your wife move to the north country out of the Twin Cities? Because you were in the Twin Cities. You were in...
We were. Yep,
big city living, and now you're small country. You can't see any neighbors living.
Kind of. In fact, well, the neighbors, when we can see them, it's the summertime. They don't come. It's snowing right now. Yeah. Can you believe it's snowing right now?
Yeah. It's November 1st. Welcome.
Whatever. I'm supposed to be in the Bahamas right now, and it's not supposed to be snowing.
Right.
What made us do that? Well, we had the McMansion in Eagan. So I guess it wasn't Eagan, Minnesota. It wasn't a big city living. It was more like suburbia. And part of the deal with my wife, she's pretty cool. She's kind of put up with my craziness a little bit. You know, when she met me, she hadn't probably met anybody that was like me and doing what I did. I don't think. She's sitting across from me, so I could ask her if you wanted me to. and I kind of made a deal with her when I asked her to marry me. I said, hey, but I want to go sailing. And I had this other plan in my life, was to live on a boat for a year. And I said, I'd like to go and do that on a sailboat. And we had chartered sailboats in the past, she and I had. And she said, yeah, absolutely. She'd love to do that. And so a couple years ago, we said, okay, let's go. Let's get this going, right? We're young. Let's make this happen. And she came up with the idea, hey, let's move up to the family cabin and start to get comfortable with running our businesses remotely. So we're a couple hours out of the Twin Cities. Most of our business is in the Twin Cities. So that's how we ended up in the woods. And I really never spent a whole lot of time in the woods in my life. I was always fishing. And then I started tromping around the woods for something to do. And it's been, gosh, this is our third November up here now. So we kind of got stuck. Oh, yeah, that's true. We weren't here last November. Last November, we were in Southeast Asia. We were sailing in Southeast Asia.
Sailing in Southeast Asia. How long were you gone then sailing?
2 months. Yeah, we sailed from the island of Borneo in Malaysia around the Singapore Peninsula up the Malacca Straits to Phuket, Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Fought off pirates and avoided oil tanker ships and
we could probably tell stories on that for a whole.
I told you, it's on a tangent. You gotta keep focused, right?
Yeah. So one of the things I thought would be cool, and one of the reasons why we have Dean on the show right now, is because he's sitting on dry land today, and he's still in the cabin, and I think it'll be exciting when you are sailing around the Caribbean or wherever you're at, is to then interview you again and talk a little bit more about your journeys and what you're doing, and kind of a little bit too more about how you got there, but more of your journeys and how you're doing right now. So
yeah,
and how business is going from, you know, from way out on the ocean and only being able to get onto land here and there.
I think that'll be cool. And if people are interested, they can kind of check out our progress too. If they, if there's YouTubers out there, can put some, links in the show notes and,
Because you've got a YouTube channel right now, right?
Yes. It's Hooks and Hairspray is what we call it. We're going to be changing the name to the name of the boat. I don't want to wreck the reveal. It's a big surprise.
Okay.
And I'm sure that all our friends and family who are the only people who care about our YouTube channel are listening to your show right now. So I don't want to wreck the surprise.
Well, this won't air for a while. So you could wreck the surprise. You'll be out on the boat by the time this airs.
Okay. Well,
so it's up to you.
Okay. Here's the deal. The name of the boat is Vuja Day, which is the opposite of deja vu.
Deja vu.
It's the feeling of having been in a certain place or scenario, but seeing it through a different way. And that's kind of a good metaphor for our sailing. We've been in the Caribbean, we've been doing our life, but we're moving and doing it in a different way. And the idea behind our YouTube channel is that we hope that that people will be inspired to, do what we've done. And you know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be sailing or living in a cabin like us weirdos. It could be anything that they want.
Yeah.
And
experiencing life, right?
Experiencing life in a different way, right?
Cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Vuja Day.
Vuja Day. Well, we'll get the exact spelling and put it on the show notes. So,
okay.
So let's move on. What's been one of the biggest mistakes you've made throughout your career?
The biggest mistakes that I've made,
or biggest just one.
One. You know, I. There's so many of them. It's hard to pick the biggest one, right? I mean, so the biggest mistake that I made was way back when I started. I had no mentor. I had no plan. I had really no knowledge. And all of that added up to the inability to really keep a focus in a good market. And so I had some good focus and had a good mentor when I was in the 1990s, when the 2000s came along or the end of the 2000s, you know, up into 2007, 2008, I would have had a way better foundation, I'd have the foundation that I have now.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest mistake that I've made. And anybody that, you know, every once in a while people ask me, about real estate, which thank you for asking me for on the show, by the way. It's super flattering that people care what I have to say, because I mean, it's, to me, it's not that exciting, right? It's just my life. But it's every once in a while people ask me, and I tell them, get a plan, get some focus, and get around people that are doing what you want to do. And I didn't do that.
Yeah. So I think that's great advice. And it's funny that you mentioned that there's been so many mistakes, because everybody that's been in business and been successful in business can say the same thing. I mean, it's just like, there's so many things that we've messed up on that we would do differently. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. I'm a big, rich dad Kool-Aid drinker. I mean, you know, a lot of people think the guy's a shyster, and maybe he is, you know, I have no idea, but his principles, I mean, I pretty much just said, well, okay, that sounds like an easy thing to do, to follow that. And I latched onto it. Yeah. And one of his biggest deals is take the test, learn the lesson, right?
Yep.
Don't learn the lesson, take the test. Take the test, learn the lesson. And I've done it. I've been through a bit, you know. I've had some lawsuits that, you know, some people would say they were probably big mistakes. And, well, they sucked. And we're expensive. I mean, it's expensive, you know, expensive tuition. But boy, I can tell you, I know a bit about business law because of going through that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. You know, I think that the Robert Kiyosaki, it's more about philosophy versus, you know, real in-depth principles, right? I mean, he doesn't really go in a super detailed depth mode about everything. It's more about philosophy and how do you get there and what do you need to do? And then from there, you can go into detail. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I agree.
100%. So our show is based on, you know, trying to get people to successfully run their business. And I think real estate to me is a business. If you're going to do it right, if you're going to make it more than just a hobby or a separate, just little investment. So you're a real estate investor, but how do you best run a business successfully? What's been your experience in success with your business?
Oh gosh. You know, I know that that's the philosophy of your podcast, because I did some research on you, and I am so bad at running a business. I was just like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be on a show, because I mean, I did it for 10 years, right? And it's so hard. People that can run businesses and wrangle all those cats that need to be run, and I'm talking like a real business, right? Yeah. You know, when you have lots of employees and you're the strategy guy and you're putting the right people on the bus in the right seats, and you know, the bus is going down the road. For me, it was, I tried to do that so much. And I mean, I had a certain level of success. I mean, I was able to sell my IT business and make some money from that. And we made money, and that IT business was an integral part of turning earned income into passive income. There's no question about that. But it was so hard for me to do that. I feel like I'm really bad at managing people. And so what's the success? You know, I don't know, get the e-myth and follow it would be, I mean, that's the best way that I could do it, you know, and just keep putting systems in place and keep figuring those systems out. And then when you hit on something, if you want to be a business person, just rinse and repeat, right? Do it again and again and again until it doesn't work anymore. And that's, I wouldn't say I'm a great business person. I think I'm really good at recognizing opportunity and jumping on the opportunity and figuring out how to make that opportunity work. So was that a good answer for you?
That was a great answer. It was a good answer. That's just okay. Yeah. Okay. No, then that was good. But I think the one of, you know, how I've gotten to know you, I'd say you're willing to take that risk and you don't have the fear that it's just a lot of people have, where they think they can't take the next step because they have fear that they're just going to lose. And I think that's, to me, one of the things that seems like with you, it's, you look at an opportunity, you see that there's a possibility, and then you go for it, and you're not letting fear paralyze you from moving forward. Is that accurate, how you think to yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I definitely don't get caught up in analysis paralysis. Yeah. There's no question about that. But I work to understand whatever space I'm in and whatever, like in real estate, I'm really comfortable in most factions of real estate. I should be. I mean, I've been doing it for long enough that something should have rubbed off, right? I mean, I don't know everything, but the world that I'm in, I understand it. I'm very comfortable with it. Yep. And if I'm not comfortable in a certain area, like if I get outside of the laws in Minnesota, I'm like a cat in a room. You ever put a cat in a room that it's never been in? It walks really slowly, right? And it looks around and it finds its way around. But as you put it in there more and more and more, it starts to move faster and faster. And pretty soon it's jumping on stuff. And now, you know, you can't control the cat in the room. And that's kind of the way that I get into stuff, right? Once I'm comfortable with it, I'm good. I'm good to go. So it's kind of, you know, fail small. Again, I hate to, you know, be a Kiyosaki pitch man, but one of his things is fail small, right? Fail small. Yeah. Fail with small zeros in front of your number. Yep. And then you can keep failing bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can keep having more zeros, and those zeros don't mean as much. You know, today I can lose a bunch of money that some people, you know, I wouldn't want to, but they would be their yearly salary. And that's not going to happen, but it could, and it wouldn't kill me, you know?
Yeah.
And that,
you failed small originally and learned as you went, and then made bigger zeros as you went.
Exactly. Exactly. Cool. And you know, one day I hope to have a lot of zeros be behind the end of those deals. If it doesn't happen, you know, I mean, that's not my major goal in my life.
Yeah.
You know, my major goal is to live my life. If I happen to get to, you know, half of what Donald Trump does, great. If I don't,
So what's that look like for you? Let's give it 10 years. Where do you want to be at? Again, I know you just said, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but where would you like to be at?
You know, I'm waiting right now for the next thing to happen. Yeah. And I don't know what that next thing is. You know, I've put some dry powder away. And I don't know if it's going to be real estate. I don't know if it's going to be the stock market. It seems to me like the stock market is heating up like crazy. And it really feels like at some point we're going to see a major, major correction in there. And what that's based on is it's a hockey stick curve, right? If you look at hockey stick curves, everything kind of goes like this and then it goes boop like that. And when it goes like that, which is where we are, it usually goes like that, right? I mean, bears jump out of windows. And so I think that's going to be the next thing again with the stock market, bigger correction than we had. And I may jump in there at that point and look for super high value, like food stocks and stuff like that, to pay dividends, because I'm a cash flow guy. Yeah. And look there. So what that looks like, you know, I don't know. I don't have any goals for, I know you're looking for 200 million in controlled real estate, right? Unless that number's gone up now. But the last podcast I listened to for you was 200 million, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with you, it could be 800 million right now, because you're like, hey, I'm 200 million is easy. And I don't have like that goal like that. I'm a horrible goal setter as well. And so, you know, I'm right now, my goal in life is to get on our darn sailboat. We bought it a month ago and we haven't been able to get on it. And then from there, run the business from there and see what happens next. And then as soon as that thing happens, whatever that correction is, put the hammer down and do it and really take advantage like I didn't in the last deal, which was, you know, a life changer for many, many people, well, including me.
Well, I think that's a good goal. I mean, you know, it's not a defined goal necessarily, but it's a good outlook too, because right now you're going to enjoy life. You're going to take advantage of sailing and you are keeping your eyes open for that next opportunity, understanding that right now you're in a position where you don't need to be heavily investing anywhere or heavily running a business anywhere. And then when an opportunity comes, you're going to be ready to pounce on it, which is, I think, a great place to be in. You know, it's not where everybody is. And I wouldn't suggest everybody listening that they follow Dean's path of let's just wait until the next crash happens wherever, whether it's stocks or Bitcoin or real estate or whatever. That's not a good strategy for a lot of people, but for the right kind of people, that's a fantastic strategy. And for a person in your position, I think that's a great place to be able to be in and choose that. So how long are you going to be on your sailboat?
We don't know.
I'll ask first, and then your wife is sitting here, so I want to hear what she says too.
Oh, yeah, should we call her over? Yeah. we're aligned in that space, right? I mean, because we made a deal and we said for a year we're going to give it a go, and wherever that year brings us, we'll stick it out. Because it sounds super romantic, right? Sunsets and beaches and whatnot. It's like driving an RV around on an unstable road, right? I mean, there's times when you stop that it's bumpy and your things go bump in the night, especially in the ocean, and you're worried about what was that, and you're going into the unknown, and we're doing a new thing, and it's they say about sailing is that when people do what we're doing, that it either really strengthens your relationship or it can ruin it really fast. So I think it'll strengthen us, but it's going to be a year for sure. I mean, that's a long answer for, it's going to be a year. And then from there, we don't know, you know, if we decide that we're going to go on from the Caribbean, maybe go, you know, do a passage across an ocean or whatever. You know, it all depends on how things shake out. If I can make business work, from the boat, we're both happy and we're good with our life, we may never come back.
There you go.
Yep. And then
good answer.
A year from now, we may, we can't wait to get off. 366.
Coming home. Sailboat sold.
The dinghy won't start. I'm swimming.
Oh, funny. So what's something that you do differently? If you could start this whole process over again, you're, 19 years old or whenever you'd want to start again, what would you do differently to start? Speak to the people that are starting right now, and what would you do?
I think I answered it, and I think it's really a good thing to talk about again, is have a plan that aligns with your why.
Yeah. Right?
And I think everybody knows what I mean by that. I mean, that's been done to death.
And if you don't read the book, start with the why.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And then find people who are doing what it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
And ask for help if you don't know. I mean, ask me. I don't care. I love to talk. This is my favorite subject, me. But my second favorite subject is probably wild fishing. And then real estate's in there somewhere. So, you know, I mean, ask me.
Top 20 or so.
Yeah, it's up there. Business is, I mean, you know, it's fun. That's what I would say is, you know, get a plan, work the plan, get help, and learn how to stick with it. And the reason that you need that why is because you're gonna fail and you're gonna say, man, this sucks. Why did I do this? And everybody does it. And there's some people that give up after that. And there's some people that say, okay, what did I learn? Now I'm going to build on that. And I mean, I could tell you a story about a guy that I just did a hard money deal with, and he's just absolutely awesome. The world hit him like a bulldozer. And he said, well, I just learned a ton from it. And will you lend to me again? And I was like, holy cow. I mean, this guy, you know, it was great. It was really, really neat to see that. And that's what you got to have in anything.
So explain that deal, because I think that's great. You don't have to mention his name, of course, but what happened?
Well, I mean, I can't. I mean, I don't know if he'd care. Okay. Well, no names. Yeah. No names. Okay. He borrowed, he's borrowed some money from me for a project, and he borrowed some money from someone else for a project, and he used the same contractor for both. And the contractor.
Is this for a flip?
Oh yeah, it was for a fix and flip. Yeah. He borrowed money for a fix and flip.
And two different projects, right?
Two different projects. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Two different projects going. And this was his second and third project that he'd done. His first one kind of went smoothly.
Okay.
And this was his second and third project. Young guy. I'm 23, 24 years old, just out of college. And super straight up guy too. I mean, just about as nice as you can get. He's like 8 feet tall, and just, you know, he could be intimidating, but he just is not, right? Just a great, great guy, in my opinion. Other people may think he's a jerk, but whatever. So he's got these two deals going with the same contractor, and the contractor underbid both deals so he could get it, and basically screwed him, right? And he didn't have enough experience to know that that he wasn't going to make it all the way to the finish line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for the deal that he did with me, it was kind of my bad too, because I could have gone in and said, well, he's probably not real. But you know, this guy said he'd worked with the contractor in the past, and they were working on he had worked out a deal where they were going to share in the profits, and like, okay, well, you know, have at it, man. You know, I'll give you this much for it. And he said, okay. And the contractor walked, disappeared, stuck him with these houses. He couldn't get anybody to do the houses. And he's on the hook now for these payments. every month, and he was on the hook for somewhere, well, with me, it was just shy of $200,000, I believe, and probably the same on the other one. So he was in debt at $300,000 to $400,000, and he was making the payments, and he was staying in communication with me. I'm sure that he was staying in communication with whoever he borrowed the money on the other place. And yeah. He was saying, hey, these are the troubles I'm having, you know, and it got to the point where he almost had to give the property to me. And we had that conversation, and he was upfront about it. And he said, what would we do? And I told him, I'll just deed it to me. We'll do what's called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. You know, I won't foreclose on you. You know, it's a win-win for both of us. I'll take your problem on. It's the risk that I take is, you know, being your money partner. And at the, literally we were having the papers drawn up. He pulled it out. He kept chugging and chugging and chugging, found somebody to buy the property that would do it, and took me out of it. And, I just, the integrity that I saw from him, I don't think I've seen that from anybody in this business. So maybe he's not jaded enough. He'll get a little older and lose that integrity.
You hope not, though. That speaks volumes of for anybody that's actually in this business or in any business, is you got to be – this guy was honest with you, and he communicated clearly with you, and he was actually ahead of the game. You know, I've owned a lot of rentals, and the tenants never tell you their problems until you're – now threatening them with eviction. All of a sudden they tell you what's going on. It's like, you know, you could have just communicated with me before the first of the month, you know, 2 weeks ago, you could have communicated with me, and things would have been a lot better. And so many people try to hide things and think that's the best way about it, because they'll fix it somehow in the middle. They'll fix it when they're hiding things. But this guy was up front with you, and you were in the interim willing to deal with them. And now he, even if you didn't make it work, you would have at least had good things to say about the guy. Yeah, did he screw up? Yeah. But you would have at least had good things to say. Now, my guess is you'll lend to him again.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And he's going out to the Milwaukee market. I know that's something, that place that you have some experience with. And he asked me, would you work with me again out here? Right. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I know nothing about Milwaukee. Right. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that this guy carried himself out there, I'm more inclined to go into the unknown with him than I am with some, you know, Yahoo that finds me off of, you know, Pillars of Wealth Creation and says, hey, will you give me some money? I'm totally kidding about that. Obviously, you know, send me an email, whatever. I don't care. But, you know, that relationship that he built up in that trust. I mean, it is a foundation, I believe, for success, you know, and the people that I work with and the investors that I work with, I try to be as open as possible and give them everything that won't freak them out, if you will, and that they understand, because you can go too far, right, and just scare the bejeebers out of people for no reason.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I keep them involved, and when you're dealing, especially with money, if you carry yourself in a way that fiduciary responsibility is your biggest, it's a big deal. I mean, in the law in the United States, a fiduciary responsibility is the biggest responsibility you have. If you treat it like that, which he did, people will again and again. You can screw up. He could probably screw up for the rest of his life, and I'd still keep giving him money.
Yeah, and other people will too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, great points. All right. So we are going to kind of wrap it up because we've gotten a little long. You already gave us your favorite book. So that's great. You like Robert Kiyosaki. So everybody pick up Robert Kiyosaki, drink his Kool-Aid, and you'll be on Dean's level.
I didn't give you my favorite book. I said,
is your favorite book?
We're going to ask you about my favorite book.
Okay.
Yeah, because we talked about philosophy earlier. Yeah, so if you're going to build, if you like reading, read Ayn Rand, both Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And they're super heady, and it'll take you forever to read them. It took me 2 months to read Atlas Shrugged. But that's going to give you a foundation for capitalism and for what it, I believe that what it is that we do as investors. And then hit the, I mean, my favorite book I think is probably, well, it's probably Shawshank Redemption, but in this world, my favorite book is Atlas Shrugged. It's amazing that if you read it, the woman wrote this thing in the 50s, I believe, sure, it was the 60s. And the thing she says, it's like, it's coming out of your TV today. That really? With these politicians. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Or get the audio. Yeah. I have the audio book and it's a lot easier to go through the audio book than to read. It's long. I mean, it's literally, it's like, it's this thick. I mean, it's this big, but
wow.
So there you go.
Cool.
All right.
Atlas Shrugged.
Atlas Shrugged. Yes, sir.
All right. What is your definition to the secret of financial freedom?
Being able to, how many days can you live without having to work for money? That's my definition of financial freedom.
Okay. Cool.
Did that make sense? Did I explain that well?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I think everybody gets that. It's that's the goal, is to be able to have enough passive income to be able to, or income stored away to be able to not have to worry about it, really.
Yeah. Don't work for money. Whenever you're doing stuff, don't work for money. Work for things that create money, right? So turn when you're working for money, because everybody has to do it. I mean, you just, unless you're a one percenter when you're 18, right? You have to work for money, but turn that earned income into assets that create, I hate the word passive income because everybody says it, but I mean, it's the best word for it.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's financial freedom.
Well, and I think it's important to understand that passive income is still not passive, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You still need to do something to get there. You need to still maintain it. It's not like you just push a button and money just keeps flowing in.
Right. Yeah. You always have a job. I mean, and I like to say to people, everyone has money problems, right? I don't know where I got that from, but everybody does. You either don't have enough or you've got too much. And when you've got too much, it's just, you got to do something with it. I mean, unless you don't care, because right now, the way our world is set up, inflation is going to take that money, that buying power away from you.
Yeah.
And if you don't care, you know, great. You don't care. But,
right.
You're going to have a job either way.
So, Dean, how can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you about hard money lending, real estate, sailboats? How can they get in touch with you?
I would say the best way right now is get on YouTube and go to, well, actually, I'll give you a website. It's bit.ly, so bit.ly / hooks and hair. That's hooks in the letter N, hair. And people can drop me. Just find a video, drop a comment down. If you don't know how to use YouTube, it's super, super fun. It's like interactive TV. So get on YouTube and just drop a comment down there, and we can do private, you know, after that, private chats, and I'll give you my email address and whatever. I just, you know, I don't want your entire audience sending me an email just to say, hey, what's up, you know. Do that on YouTube. I'd gladly say, hey, what's up on YouTube. and then we can go down the rabbit hole.
Perfect. And then when this comes out, if anything's changed with that, we'll definitely change the show notes to.
Yeah, for sure.
To go along with that.
I'll keep that bit.ly, and that bit.ly might just go to a different place, right? Sure. It might go to Vujade. Vujade Living is our website. We just don't have it together yet. So
cool.
I'll keep it there. It'll redirect.
When do you think you're going to be on your sailboat?
Oh gosh, man. Any day. It's supposed to be done. It was supposed to be done on the weekend. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Heard that, man. Island time. You have a good boat, man. You know? and so anytime, awesome. We're just sitting kind of waiting. And you can actually, if you check out our YouTube channel, you can see what we've been doing. I made a little video about that. It's kind of funny. And I mean, literally, if they would give us the phone call, we would be, you know, clean up, pack up. We're pretty much, the cabin's ready to go, and we'd be gone.
So you're going to be gone. you're leaving for Christmas. You guys come back and fly back in, or how does that work? How's the plans work?
Yeah, you know, we don't know. Probably don't not. Know. We'll have people come visit us. I mean, where do you want to, spend Christmas, white Christmas, or you want a Bahamas Christmas? I got my ideas on that.
So you're saying in spring break, like, you know, March, I can come hang out with you on your sailboat for a week. And
you know what I'm telling people? My wife cringes when I say this. My business partners get to come and have business meetings.
Awesome.
With me because it becomes a tax deduction, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So you bet, man.
Can we bring our wives? Cause that definitely, you know, has to be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I have a buddy who he's excited to bring his four girls, down. He's divorced, and so he gets them half time, and he's excited to bring them, and awesome. And we always like hanging out with them. So yeah, I mean, it's part of being able to do what we do. It's not about us. I mean, I'm obviously super self-centric, right? But it's about being able to share with people and do stuff that you like, right? And and spend time with people. I mean, money is it's a way to be able to do that. It's nice to have it, right? But I mean, that's why the why is important. You know, if you understand what that is, if you do it for money, I mean, you know, people say if you do it for money that you won't be successful. I think that's BS. Some people are super, super focused on just counting the dollars and having that and winning, because that's just, you know, that's winning, right? But I don't think that for the most people that's such a big deal. Having the freedom to be able to do and the resources to be able to do what you want. That's a big deal. And that's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, man, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Dean, I appreciate the time and your philosophy on the show. And hopefully we'll be chatting in another, well, let's say 6 months or so when you're out on the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to find an internet connection somewhere.
Yeah.
Find a whale with an antenna on them.
Right. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I'm kidding. We're not. We'll have internet.
All right, Dean. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, well, that was a great, fun interview with Dean Meyer. And Dean just brings a different perspective. Yeah, you know, a lot of us go about our business and we're very serious about our goals and where we want to be. And Dean just, you know, he's had these ideas, definitely ideas of where he wants to be. But it's always been more for, I want to enjoy life. You know, as he's 19, 20 years old, he's thinking about being a bass fisherman. That's what he wants to do, a profession. And he's just got to figure out what he's got to do to get there. And now Dean is going to be sailing on a sailboat. He's in his 40s and he's just enjoying life, just loving what he's doing. And yeah, he's going to make money. He's going to do things that are going to get him to make money, but he's enjoying what he's doing on the way. So I love talking to people like that just enjoy life and love every part of it. So we're going to look at some actionable steps. What did Dean talk to us about today that we can take some action in? And a couple of things that I wrote down that really stood out to me is he talked about being flexible and look for opportunities. You know, he mentioned that right now, he's doing some hard money. He's still actually busy and doing things, but that's, he's kind of waiting, holding back right now. And he's in that position. Not all of us are in that position, but he's always looking for that next opportunity. Where can he actually make money and where can he provide growth for himself? So I think that's important for everybody, no matter where you are, and not necessarily just to stand back and do what Dean's doing, because a lot of us, that's not where we're at. But we always should keep an eye out for what it is, where that opportunity is, where the next opportunity is. I mean, that's what I look for in my business with multifamily. I'm still buying multifamily, but I'm not necessarily buying multifamily in the market I live in or in certain markets. I'm looking at specific markets that I feel have the best opportunity. So I like that. And the next thing, of course, is enjoy life. And Dean talked about the things that he's done and how he's just enjoyed life. And, you know what? We got a short time here on Earth, and it is definitely important to make sure that what you're doing is setting yourself up for that why, for that enjoyment of life. And, you know, like Dean said, we can make a ton of money and be focused on just money and just winning, and we can do that. But is that going to truly make you happy? What's going to make you happy? Of course, money can help get us there, and money is a motivator, but making sure you're taking care of yourself, you're taking care of your family, and taking care of what's important is really what's going to make you enjoy life and be happy, and is really going to bring that true wealth to you. Then he talked about focus, you know, focus and coming up with a plan. And he talked about his lack of focus and lack of plan, and how had he really been better at that, he probably would have been, he'd probably be in a better position than he is right now. Not that he's not doing well, but just talking about that focus, that plan, and making sure you have it. And then the other thing he coupled that with is making sure you have a good mentor and somebody that's in the industry that you want to be in, that's been there before, that's done really good things. You want to make sure you have that person that can help you along the way. And I think it's important, whether that's a paid mentor, whether that's a mentor that you're exchanging services for, or just somebody that wants to help you along the way. I think it's important to find that person and figure out what your weaknesses are as well, and find a mentor that can help you along that path. Somebody who's been there before, has been in the trenches, is really important. So you can go out and you can pay for that person. There's a lot of people that are out there that are mentoring and that will do it for a fee, or there's people that'll do it for free as well. So find a mentor, get your focus, and get your plan. The other thing I really took away that I thought was really interesting, he was talking about the cat in the room. Now, cat goes into a brand, into a new room it's never been in, and it goes in, and it goes in slow. It's not going to jump in and start running around. It goes in slow, and it checks everything out. And that's what Dean talked about, is coming into a new situation like that, having your guard up and being aware of what's going on around you, and then making sure you're comfortable doing things to make small losses, not big losses up front, learning it, and then going and taking the bigger risks. Now, I don't think Dean was advocating anybody to take their sweet, sweet time and never take action. Making sure that you understand what you're doing before you really just dive in both feet, I think is really important. So that was great as well. And then the last thing I took away from it is the integrity and the communication. And he was talking about a situation where somebody was in kind of a bad situation, and they took that bad situation and make sure they communicated effectively with the people that were directly involved in it, and working out the best solution for that. And in this case, it ended up working out really well for the guy. And it was all about the communication and the integrity that that person had that allowed it to work out, and allowed now Dean to want to continue to work with that person. So making sure you're being, you have a lot of integrity and you communicate, and you're just doing it right, I think is really important. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was fun to talk to Dean. I hope you enjoyed it too. Please subscribe to our show if you enjoyed it, and give us a 5-star rating and review, or on iTunes or wherever you listen. We would love to hear from you. And then, of course, you know, you can go onto our webpage and you can send us an email. Go under our Facebook page, Pillars of Wealth Creation Facebook page, and give us a like, leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. So hope you enjoyed, and remember, make every day a Saturday.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.